OK， 外昆台之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2019年6月16日，星期日。我们今天又能非常荣幸的听到我们深爱者的阿叔，Krishna Baladeva Prabhu， 我们继续讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课，敬请聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions.Today, text number 5.
我们今天继续阅读圣典博加瓦坛第二篇第七章，起特殊作用的化身。今天阅读的诗节是第五诗节。
Taptam.
Taptam.
Tapaha.
Tapaha.
Vividaloka.
Vividaloka.
Shishrikshaya.
Shishrikshaya.
Me.
Me.
Taptam tapo vividaloka shishrikshayame.
Taptam tapo vividaloka shishrikshayame.
Adau.
Adau.
Sanat.
Sanat.
Svatapasaha.
Svatapasaha.
Saha.
Saha.
Chatusanaha.
Chatusanaha.
Abut.
Abut.
Adau sanat svatapasa satchatushanobhut.
Adau sanat svatapasa satchatushanobhut.
Prak.
Prak.
Kalpa.
Kalpa.
Samplava.
Samplava.
Vinashtam.
Vinashtam.
Iha.
Iha.
Atma.
Atma.
Tatvam.
Tatvam.
Prakalpa samplava vinashtam hihatma tatvam.
Prakalpa samplava vinashtam hihatma tatvam.
Samyak.
Samyak.
Jagada.
Jagada.
Munaya.
Munaya.
Yat.
Yat.
Ashakshata.
Ashakshata.
Atman.
Atman.
Samya jagada munayo yadachat kshatamam.
Samya jagada munayo yadachat kshatamam.
Taptam tapo vividaloka shishrikshayame.
Taptam tapo vividaloka shishrikshayame.
Adau sanat svatapasa satchatusanobhut.
Adau sanat svatapasak sakatuk snat nobut.
Prakalpa samplava vinashtam hihat matatvam.
Prakalpa samplava vinashtam hihat matatvam.
Samyak jagada munayo yadachakshatatman.
Samaya jagada munya yuyat achakshatatman.
Okay, word for word.
字对字.
Taptam.
Taptam. 经历了苦境.
Tapaha.
Tapaha. 宿醉.
Vividaloka.
Vividaloka. 不同的星系.
Shishrikshaya.
Shishrikshaya. 想要创造.
Me.
Me. 属于我的。
Adau,
Adau, 起初
Sanat,
Sanat, 从人格守神
Svatapasa,
Svatapasa, 靠我自己的苦修
Saha,
Saha, 他至尊主
Chatursanaha,
Chatursanaha, 名为 Sanat Kumar, Sanaka, Sananda 和 Sanata 的四位独身禁欲的男士
Abut
Abut 出现
Prak
Prak 先前的
Kalpa
Kalpa 创造期
Samplava
Samplava 在泛滥中
Vinashtam
Vinashtam 被毁坏。
Iha。
Iha 在这个物质世界中。
Atma。
Atma 灵魂。
Tatvam。
Tatvam 真理。
Samyak。
Samyak 完全的。
Jagad。
Jagad 展示出来。
Munaya。
Munaya 圣人们。
Yat。
Yat 那的。
Achakshata。
Achakshata 清楚的看到。
Atman。
Atman 灵魂。
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
译文由 Srila Prabhupada 提供。译文：为了创造各种星系，我必须从事苦修。至尊主因此而对我很满意，于是化身为四位 Sana、Sanaka、Sanat、Kumar、Sananda 和 Sanatan。在这前一个创造中，灵性真理遭到了毁坏，但四位 Sana 十分清楚地解释它，使圣人们立刻准确地理解了。要旨 Vishnu 签名颂 Vishnu Sahasranama 提到至尊主的名字中有 Sanat 和 Sanatanatama， 至尊主和生物在智上都是 Sanantana 永恒的，但至尊主是 Sanantanama 最永恒的。生物无疑是永恒的，但因为有坠入非永恒的范畴的可能，所以不是最永恒的。因此生物在量上与最永恒的至尊主不同。梵文善字也用于指布施，因此当奉献者把一切都献给至尊主时，至尊主便作为回报把自己交给了奉献者。就有关这一点，佛家梵歌第四章的第十一世节中证实说，我根据每个人对我皈依的情况来回报他们。耶亚塔曼帕帕迪亚提 Brahma想按照宇宙毁灭的前的状况再创造整个宇宙，由于在上一次毁灭中有关绝对真理的知识也随着被毁灭的一切失去了，他希望在他再创造时那样的知识能够得以恢复，否则创造还有什么意义呢？一直受制约的灵魂在每一个创造期都会被赋予解脱的机会，而超然的知识是解脱最需要的。凭借至尊主的仁慈， Sanaka、Sanat Kumar、Sanantananda 和 Sanatana 这四位 Sana 显现为成为 Brahma 的四个儿子，实现了 Brahma 想要完成的使命。这四位 Sana 就是至尊主的知识化身，因此把超然的知识解释得如此清楚，使所有的圣人立刻毫无困难地吸收了。追随库马尔四兄弟的人可以立即在自己的心中看到至尊人格守神。译文：为了创造各种星系，我必须从事苦修，至尊主因此而对我很满意，于是化身为四位 Sana、Sanaka、Sanat Kumar、Sananda 和 Sanatan。 在前一个创造中灵性真理遭到了毁坏，但四位 Sana 十分清楚地解释它，使圣人们立刻准确地理解了。
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavari Pashata Deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpataru Vyasa Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita garadhara shivasari gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare So here Lord Brahma is describing the appearance of the four Kumaras.
Lord Brahma 在这里在解释着四位 Kumara 兄弟的显现。
So the four Kumaras were the first children of Lord Brahma.
这四位 Kumara 兄弟是主 Brahma 的长子。
So they are considered as incarnations of the Lord too.
他们也被认为是主的化身。
But they are individual souls like us.
但是呢，他们又是像我们这样的个体灵魂。
So see, this is a type of incarnation of the Lord where it's called Shaktiavesha Avatar.
对，这个是被称为 Shaktiavesha Avatar 的主的其中的一种化身的形式。
So means that a living entity, individual soul, is empowered by the Lord to perform a certain mission on behalf of the Lord.
也就意味着是一个个体的一个灵魂，它被主赐予了特别的力量，然后呢，以主的化身的形象显现，从而能够去为主从事一些活动。
So they were empowered. They were invested with the power to disseminate knowledge of the absolute.
所以说呢，他们是被赋予了绝对真理的知识的力量。
Because this happened after one day of Brahma. It's in the end of the day of Brahma. There is a partial dissolution, and then there has to be another creation. So this is the beginning of another day of Lord Brahma.
所以呢，这个是主的 Brahma 的新的一天的开始。因为在主的 Brahma 的这个一天结束的时候呢，是会有一个部分的毁灭的。所以说呢，在第二天的时候呢，要需要重新的一切的开始，新的创造。
So most of the aspects of these incarnations that we have been describing, this is what they appear in a millennium. Millennium means it's a period of a day of Brahma.
那所以我们所谈到的这些化身呢，都是在一个千年的时候显现的这些化身。那么这个千年，也就是说主的Brahma 的一天的时间内。
Most of them.
大部分的这些化身都是这样的。
So the four Kumaras they appeared as a reply or response to the prayer of Lord Brahma to come and to incarnate in this world to disseminate knowledge of the absolute.
所以呢，这四位 Kumara 兄弟呢，他们是应着主 Brahma 的祈祷而来的。他来的原因呢，是为了能够重新建立起在这个世界的绝对真理。
But at the same time, Lord Brahma was expecting that his first children also will help him in the procreation of the different species of life.
但是与此同时呢，作为主 Brahma 的长子们呢，主 Brahma 也希望他们能够帮助他一起来繁衍后代，能够生出各种各样的生物形式。
At the end of one day of Lord Brahma, all those souls who still have karma, who still have not finished their attachment to material existence, they enter into the body of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, waiting for another day of Brahma to begin so they can take birth again in the material world.
在主 Brahma 的一天结束的时候呢，这些依然有业报的，对于物质世界还依然有依附的这个个体灵魂们，他们就会回到 Garbhodakshaya Vishnu 的体内，然后呢，在那里等待着主 Brahma 的新的一天的开始，然后呢，他们可以再次的在这新的一天里面降生。
So they all have different karmas, different material desires. They are all supposed to take birth in different species of life.
对所有的这些生命体呢，他们都是有各种各样的业报的，而且呢，对于物质呢，也有各种各样的依附。所以呢，他们就必须要在主Brahma一天开始的时候呢，在各种各样不同的生命形式中投生。
There are many, many forms of life within this material world. They are all meant to accommodate the desire, material desires and the karmas of every individual soul.
在这个物质世界里面呢，有各种各样的生命形式。那么，这些生命形式呢，都是为了要去满足这些个体灵魂们他们所还没有满足的各种各样的物质欲望。
So when there is new creation after Lord Brahma wakes up, when there's a new creation, then all these different species of life have to be created to accommodate the karmas of those individual souls that they had accumulated from the previous day.
所以说呢，在主 Brahma 新的一天开始的时候，当他醒来的时候呢。就是所有的这些各种各样不同的生命形式都必须要被创造出来，然后呢，这样才能够去，帮助去满足那些还没有清除他们的物质愿望、没有清除他们的物质依附的那些灵魂的重新投生的这个需求。
So means that all the different forms of life are created at the same time.
也就意味着在同一时间内，所有各种各样的不同的生命形式都被创造了出来。
This evolution of species is incorrect. Is a nonsense.
所以说呢，就是关于物种说呢是瞎说的，是不正确的。
One species then does not become another species by evolution.
并不是因为通过进化，就是一种生命的形式变成了转化成了另外一种生命形式。
Certainly, within every species.There are certain evolution. They adapt, change according to atmospheric situations. But within the same species,
当然了，就是每一种生命形式，它们都会在这个环境的变化中呢，会进行自己在这个生命形式中内的进化。
But it's not that one species become another species through evolution.
但是并不会通过这样的进化呢，使一种生命形式转化成了另外一种生命形式。
No, all the species are created at the same time because they are meant to accommodate the different karmas of the individual souls from their previous birth.
其实呢，是所有的这些生命形式呢，都在同一个时间内显现了。原因就是因为他们要去满足。那些个体灵魂还没有清除掉的他们的这个业报及他们的这个物质的愿望。
So Lord Brahma was expecting that the four Kumaras being his first four children would also take charge, take responsibility to get married and procreate the different species of life like it because it was a necessity.
所以说呢，作为主 Brahma 的四位长子，主 Brahma 呢也希望他们能够结婚，然后呢，承担起繁衍后代的这个责任，因为就是去把所有的这些不同的这些生物体都给生出来，这也是一个非常重要的一个职责。
But they were so absorbed, they were so self-realized, so absorbed in transcendental knowledge.That they refused the request of their father.
但是这四个孩子们呢，他们是如此的沉醉于他们自己的自我觉悟的超然的知识之中，所以说呢，他们就拒绝了父亲的这个请求。
Srila Prabhupada explained this is one of the things that a child or even a disciple can refuse to marry.
Srila Prabhupada 在钥匙里面就解释了，就是作为一个孩子和作为门徒，这是他可以拒绝结婚的一个理由。
Particular a male son or a disciple.
特别是男性的门徒或者说是儿子可以这样拒绝。
So, they refused. they refused. They didn't want to get married. They didn't want to have to procreate. They wanted to remain brahmacharis.
所以说呢, 他们就拒绝了, 他们想结婚, 他们也不想生子, 他们就想让自己一直保持着 brahmachari 遵守生的形象。
But Lord Brahma was very, very disturbed and he became very angry.
但是主 Brahma 可被这件事非常的打扰, 而且呢他就变得很生气。
And in that angry mood, Lord Shiva appeared actually from his forefront.
然后呢就在这个非常愤怒的这种状态下呢, 主 Shiva 就从他的前额显现了。
That's to show that this anger of Lord Brahma is not like our ordinary anger when we are frustrated in our attempt to enjoy our senses.
主 Brahma 他所展现出来的这种愤怒, 跟我们如果要是没有办法满足我们的感官的享乐, 而显现出来的那种气氛是完全不一样的状态。
So this for Kumara's day, in order to never be tempted to be married and to procreate, to not be again pressed by their father to procreate, to get married and procreate, they decided to remain in children bodies for all their lives.
所以这四苦马尔兄弟呢，他们就是为了要让自己不结婚，然后不生孩子。 并且不被他们的这个父亲一直就强迫他们去做这件事呢，他们就决定让自己一直保持着孩童的这种身体状态。So
they remain in bodies of small boys, you know, children.
所以呢，他们的孩子，他们的这个身体呢，就是孩子的身体。Because
they have achieved all the yogic mystic perfections.
因为他们已经达到了所有的瑜伽的。
They could remain in child bodies, and they could travel outer space without the use of any vehicle.
所以呢，他们就可以一直保持着孩童的身体，然后呢，在外太空，在没有任何的这个器就是工具的帮助下四处旅行。
They could even travel to the spiritual planet, to Vaikuntha.
他们甚至于可以去到灵性的苍穹, 可以去到瓦昆塔。
But they had realized knowledge of Brahman.
但是呢，他们已经觉悟到了 Brahman 的知识, 也就是梵知, 他们有了梵觉。
They were captivated by the aspect of Brahman of the absolute truth.
也就是说呢，他们被绝对真理的凡觉的这一部分所吸引。
So initially, they didn't have knowledge about Krishna initially.
所以在最开始的时候呢，他们是没有关于 Krishna 的知识的。
They only knew about Brahman.
他们只知道 Brahman, 只知道凡。
And they were totally absorbed in Brahman, totally detached from material existence.
而且呢，他们是完全让自己沉醉在 Brahman 之中，完全的弃绝了物质的依附。
There is a difference between this type of self-realization and the so-called self-realization of the Mayavadi philosophy.
但是呢，就是这样的这个觉悟和Mayavadi的所谓的觉悟是不一样的。Brahmavadis
are not envious of Krishna.
那么这是他们这种觉悟叫 Brahmavadi. 那这样 Brahmavadi 呢，他是不嫉妒 Krishna 的，他不会嫉妒 Krishna.
They just don't have much knowledge about Krishna, and they are attracted to Brahman.
那他呢，其实只是对 Krishna 不知道，没有这方面的知识，但是呢，他对凡是非常的有吸引的。So
yeah, we can say is imperfect. In one sense, is still imperfect self-realization, but is already one spiritual. Is already a spiritual realization.
那所以我们从一方面来讲呢，就他这样的自我觉悟呢，是不完美的自我觉悟。 但是呢，他已经是灵性的自我觉悟了。
So we could see it's incomplete.
所以我们可以说呢，这是不完整的。
Because the absolute truth can be realized in three aspects.
因为绝对真理可以通过三个方面去理解。
Brahman is one aspect to understand that everything, ultimately reality is spiritual.
那凡觉是其中的一个方式，就其中的一个方面，就是理解终极来说，所有的一切都是灵性的。
And this is the first understanding of the absolute truth.
而这个呢，就是对绝对真理的首当其冲的理解。
The absolute truth is spiritual, is eternal.
所以绝对真理是灵性的，是永恒的。
But then there is more than that.
但是呢，比这个还有更多的东西。
The absolute truth can be localized in a personal form as the super soul.
就是这个绝对真理呢，它可以像超灵一样，它会有一个待着的地方。
The absolute truth is Brahman, but it can also be localized in a form of a super soul.
所以说呢，这个绝对真理呢，它可以是 Brahman, 但是呢，它也可以作为超灵，它会待在一个地方。
Brahman is all pervading, is like the light of the sun.
那么这个 Brahman, 它是遍存万有的。它就像是这个太阳的光芒一样，无处不在。
If you just pay attention to the sunshine is all pervading, is everywhere.
如果你要是注意阳光的话，你就会发现阳光是无处不在的。
But if you pay attention to the source of the sunshine and it says the sun globe, oh, sun globe is localized, is there in a particular place.
但是如果你要是去注意一下太阳光所发出来的那个太阳的球体的话，你就会发现这个太阳球体它是会待在一个地方的。
Of course, in the case of the super soul, Paramatma is localized does not mean that it's stuck in one place, is limited in space.
但是呢，就是作为 Paramatma 超灵，它所待的这个地方并不能够被理解成它就被卡在某一个地方了。
But as a form.As a form, you can point it out. Okay, here is the super soul. Is as a form.
但是呢，它是有一个形象的，就是你可以去指点出它。哦，就这个地方就是一个形象。那么这个形象呢，就是那个超灵。
Even though the super soul is also all pervading, is all situated in the heart of all living entities, and even within the atoms of material energy, so it's all pervading, but as a localized, as a form, as a particular form.
那么虽然超灵呢，它其实也是无处不在的，那它也是居住在众生的内心之中的，而且即便是一个小原子里面，也都是有超灵存在的。但是，就是这样一个变存不在的这个超灵，它也是有一个形象的。
So the form, whereas Brahman has no is formless.
但是凡 Brahman 呢，它是无形的。
But superior to the understanding of the super soul is the realization of the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of the super soul, the source of Brahman.
但是呢，要比这个 Paramatma 的觉悟要更高的呢，是理解到。有一个至尊人格神守神的，就有一个至尊的人格神的存在。那他呢是凡以及是超灵的源泉。
So it's one Brahman is one aspect, and then Paramatma is a higher aspect that includes also Brahman, and then the supreme personality of God at Bhagavan.Is the ultimate aspect that includes Paramatman, includes Brahman realization.
所以说呢，凡觉 Brahman， 它是觉悟的一个部分。那么这个Paramatma 的觉悟，就这个超灵的觉悟呢，是一个更高的觉悟。它呢包括了凡觉，然后比它要更高的呢，就是至尊人格守神 Bhagavan， 它是最高的觉悟。那么它呢是把凡和Paramatma。超灵都是包含于其中的。
So in Bhagavan, the supreme person the absolute truth is understood completely in all its aspect of the eternity, knowledge and bliss.
所以说呢，在这个八个万的觉悟之中呢，就能够全面的了解到，这个就是全面的觉悟到，神的永恒极乐和全知的特点了。
So the four Kumaras originally were attracted, were self-realized in Brahman.
所以说呢，在最开始的时候，这四位 Kumara 兄弟他们是在凡的觉悟的这个状态的。
But they heard about Lord Narayana and Vaikuntha.
但是呢，他们却听到过有主 Narayana， 还听说过有 Vaikuntha 这个地方。
So they had the desire to go and see Narayana.
所以呢，他们就特别的渴望着能够去拜见主 Narayana。
So this connects with the story, with the story of Jaya Vijaya.
所以呢，这就和 Jaya 和 Vijaya 的故事相连接起来了。
After passing through different gates in Vaikuntha, they came to this last gate, was guarded by Jaya Vijaya, and Jaya Vijaya, they stopped them because they have never seen anyone in this little form of child coming to Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, they are all grown ups, they are all in their youth, full youth.
那所以说就这四苦马尔兄弟们呢，他们就穿过了通向瓦昆塔的一道又一道的门，然后最后呢就来到了最后一道门。当来到最后一道门的时候呢，就被看门人加耶维加亚给挡在门口了，因为加耶维加亚他们从来就没有见过小孩身形的这个样子的人，因为在瓦昆塔的这个世界里面呢，所有的人物全部都是以这个年轻俊美的形象展现的。
So they prevented the four Kumaras to enter.
所以呢，他们就阻止四苦马尔兄弟进门。
So and it is explained that the four Kumaras became very disturbed from being prevented to enter.
所以呢，就描述说呢，就这四苦马尔兄弟呢，因为被挡在门外了，所以就很气恼。
And they became very angry.
而且呢，他们就变得很愤怒。
And in that anger, they cursed Jaya Vijaya.To take birth in the material world because they were seeing, oh, this is qualified, this is not qualified. They were in duality, so they should go to live in a world of duality, and that's the material world.
所以说呢，就在这样愤怒的这种心绪之中呢，这四苦马尔兄弟就诅咒了加耶和维加亚，因为就诅咒他们要到这个物质世界来，因为他们看到加耶和维加亚呢是有这种。判断心就觉得这个是有资格的，那个是没有资格的，所以他们就觉得，他们是处在这个二元性的这种状态下。他就想，如果既然你是在二元性的状态下的话，那你就应该去到那个二元的物质世界。
So, but later on, they regret having become angry and having cursed these two persons.
但是后来呢，他们又后悔了。后悔自己怎么这么愤怒，而且还诅咒了他们俩。
Because they thought they were overcome by the modes of passion and ignorance.
因为他们觉得呢，他们是被激情和愚昧属性给征服了。
But later on, Narayana later on explained to them that actually this situation was imposed by the Lord because he had a plan.
但是后来主 Narayana 就跟他们解释说呢，其实就是这一切呢都是由他所安排的，因为他有一个计划。
So, but when the four Kumaras finally met Lord Narayana, they were very attractive by Lord Narayana, very, very attractive.
但是呢，要说的就是这四库马尔兄弟，当他们见到主 Narayana 的时候呢，他们非常非常的被朱纳扬娜所吸引。
Even though they were used to see everyone equally, because everyone he could see everyone as Brahman, but here they could see that this personality was very unique.
虽然说他们能够就是以平等的心态去看待所有人，因为他把所有人都看在这个凡的这种境界之中，但是呢，他们却能够看到朱纳扬娜。 是一个非常的不一般的人物。
And they were very attracted by the bodily features of Lord Narayana.
而且呢，他们非常被住 Narayana 的这个身体所吸引。
His beautiful limbs, his beautiful chest, his beautiful face and lotus feet. So everything so attractive.
就是住 Narayana 的、非常美丽的四肢，非常美丽的胸部，以及非常美丽的莲花脸。莲花眼，就是所有的一切都特别特别的吸引人。
Perhaps we have seen the painting that they are looking at the different limbs of the Lord touching and being so amazed by seeing this extraordinary form of Lord Narayana. And Lord Narayana is just there, you know, satisfying their curiosity.
那也许我们看到过这样一张图片，就是四苦猫二兄弟们，他们就。使劲地看着朱纳亚娜的四肢，然后呢，欣赏着朱纳亚娜的美丽的这个身形，然后就特别的为之而震惊。那么朱纳亚娜呢，就站在那儿，然后就特别的享受着被他们这样的观看着。
Of course, Lord Narayana knew who they were. Of course, Lord Narayana knew very well who they were.
OK, 那么当然了朱纳亚娜非常的清楚他们是谁。
And he wanted to give them a special mercy.
所以呢他就想把特别的仁慈给予他们。
Give them the opportunity to understand more about the absolute truth.
希望能够给他们一个机会让他们能够了解更多的关于绝对真理的方面。
So that's why because of this, at one moment, something really happened, extraordinary happened. They were struck by the smell, the fragrance of the lotus feet, the tulasi flowers imbibed in sandalwood. There was stuck in at the lotus feet of the Lord, and that fragrance.Touch their heart and transform their consciousness.
就突然之间呢，就有一件事情就发生了，就是在这个主纳亚纳的莲花足上呢，贴着一个就是在这个檀香浆里面蘸过的涂锡叶。那么这个涂锡叶所散发出来的这个芬芳呢，就钻入了四位库玛尔兄弟的这个鼻孔，然后立时就他们就被这个香味儿。就给迷住了。
So their consciousness totally changed.
这样就使他们的这个意识知觉呢，就完全的发生了变化。
They became attracted to the Supreme Lord.
然后他们就开始变得非常的被至尊人格守神所吸引。
So at this time, their realization of the absolute truth became complete.
所以就在这会儿的时候呢，他们对于绝对真理的觉悟呢，就变得完整了。
And gradually they start knowing more about the origin of Lord Narayana, Lord Krishna, and the pastimes of Krishna, and they become absorbed in devotion to Krishna.
然后慢慢的呢，他们就了解了更多的关于主 Narayana 的情况，然后呢，他们还了解了主 Krishna， 然后他们就完全的沉醉在了对主 Krishna 的奉献服务之中。
They became attracted to the glories and pastimes of Krishna.
他们开始被主 Krishna 的非常荣耀的逍遥时光所吸引。
So they are actually the origin of one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, a disciplic successions.
我们的这个Vaishnava Sampradaya 一共有四条使徒传系。那么这四位苦马尔兄弟呢，他们其实是这四条使徒传系的最原初的头。
They are the original initiators of the Kumara Sampradaya.
所以他们是苦马尔 Sampradaya 的最原初的创立者。
There are four bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas.
那我们有四条正宗的 Vaishnava Sampradaya 使徒传系。
One is originated from Lord Brahma.
其中一条呢是来自于主 Brahma 的。
And we are connected with this Sampradaya.
那我们呢是和这个Sampradaya 所相连的，和主 Brahma 的这条 Sampradaya 所相连。
The other one is from Lord Shiva.
那么另外一条呢是来自于主希望。
Is called Rudra Sampradaya.
那么来自于主希望的这条 Sampradaya 呢被称为叫 Rudra Sampradaya.
And then there is Lakshmi Devi.
然后还有一条呢是由Lakshmi Devi 所发言出来的。
Is called Shri Sampradaya.
这条使徒传信呢被称为叫 Shri Sampradaya.
And then there is a Kumara Sampradaya.
那么还有一条使徒传信呢被称为叫 Kumara Sampradaya、
Yes, they may give more emphasis, some Sampradayas give more emphasis to worship of the Lord in awe and reverence, some are more attracted to the original form of the Lord as Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna, but they are all bona fide Sampradayas because they allThe goal is to serve the Supreme Lord in love and devotion.
那么这四条使徒传信呢，他们都是正宗的使徒传信，因为他们都是要在爱和奉献之心中去服务主。那么虽然有的使徒传信呢，可能更强调的是在敬畏的心态下去崇拜主，有的使徒传信呢，强调的是去崇拜主的 Krishna 的美妙的逍遥时光。
So we cannot criticize other sampradayas thinking that, oh, this is inferior sampradaya. We should not do that.
但我们有一件事情是不可以做的，就是我们不能够去批评其他的 sampradaya， 也不能够说，哦，你的那个 sampradaya 要更加的次要，更加的低等。
No. They all worship the Supreme Lord. They all...engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord, so they have to be honored as Vaishnavas.
不是这样的，所有的这些 Sampradaya 呢，都是怀着奉爱之情去服务至尊主的。所以说呢，所有的这些 Sampradaya 的这些追随者们都应该被当成 Vaishnava 一样去尊重，都是 Vaishnava， 都应该去尊重。
When our devotees travel to the Holy Dham.We usually go to Mayapur, we go to Vrindavan. So most of the devotees, most of the Vaishnavas we encounter are from the Brahma Sampradaya.
那我们在上圣地去朝拜的时候呢，我们可能去的地方是 Sri Mayapur, 还有 Sri Vrindavan. 那么在这些地方我们所见到的大部分的 Vaishnava 奉献者都是来自于 Brahma 这条使徒传系的。
But if you go to Jagannath Puri, there we can already find some members of other Vaishnavas from other Sampradayas.
但如果我们要是去 Jagannath Puri 的话，我们在那儿就可以看到一些来自于其他 Sampradaya 的 Vaishnava 们。
And if you travel to the south of India, most of the Vaishnavas are from other Sampradayas, not from Brahma Sampradaya.
如果我们要是去南印度的话，我们就会发现大部分的这些 Vaishnava 们，他们都是来自于其他 Sampradaya 的，而不是来自于 Brahma Sampradaya 的。
And they are very, very prominent, and they have many, many ancient temples, and they are very, very devotional. It's very nice, even though they are more attracted to the worship of the Lord in awe and reverence.
他们呢都是非常的。重要的在南印度，而且呢，他们有很多的古老的这个庙宇，就是非常美妙的、美好的。虽然说他们是在这个敬畏的心态下在崇拜着主，但是呢，他们是满怀着奉爱之情的在敬拜主。
They are very cultured and they are very very attracted to very attached to their sampradayas and they are very strict. The very great Vaishnavas.
他们都非常的有修养，而且呢，他们也非常的依恋于他们所在的这个 Sampradaya， 所以他们都是非常的了不起的 Vaishnava 们。
So we can certainly be very inspired by their devotion.
所以我们毫无疑问是会被他们的奉爱之情所激励的。
But yes, in our Sampradaya, we have the opportunity to know more to know about Krishna, the origin of all the different incarnations and the expansions of the Lord, and we have the opportunity to know about that particular type of devotion to Lord Krishna, which is not so much with awe and reverence.
当然了，在我们的这个桑帕达亚里面呢，我们有更多的机会去了解万缘之源的一切的这些化身的源头的 Krishna， 而且呢，我们也有更好的机会，不是在这种敬畏的心境下去了解 Krishna 的逍遥时光。
Yes, we are in a very special sampradaya because we worship Krishna, the original personality of Godhead.
那当然，我们确实是在一个非常的特别的使徒传系之中，因为我们所敬拜的是至尊人格守神 Krishna。
And Krishna manifests pastimes, manifests activities that is not found in any expansion or any other expansion or incarnation of the Lord.
而 Krishna 他所上演的这些逍遥时光呢，是在他任何的其他的化身和扩展身上都不会显现的。
But in the beginning, we have not yet entered really in the mood of this.Sweetness, devotion without awe and reverence. In the beginning, we cannot enter into that mood.
但是在最开始的时候，我们是不可能进入到，我们是不可能在不怀着敬畏之情那种心态下进入到那样的甜美的心境之中的。
We know that we are aiming at attaining this type of loving devotion because it's more dear to Krishna, but.We have to go through the practice, and within the practice, we learn how to worship the Lord in awe and reverence.
那虽然说我们知道这个对于 Krishna 来说呢是更加的所爱的一种方式，所以说呢我们可以学习着进入到那种爱的那种心境之中。但是呢，我们必须要通过在敬畏之情中去崇拜 Krishna 的这种修习的过程中，才能够了解到这一点。
So in the beginning of our practice, the worship is done in awe and reverence.
对呢，在最开始的时候，我们的这个崇拜呢，是在敬畏之情中完成的。
That's why we offer obeisance, we offer prayers.
也就是因为这个原因，所以呢，我们才会顶拜，我们才会念诵祷文。
And we always see the Lord as the Supreme Lord.And we are his servants.
而且呢，我们总是把至尊人格守神看成是至尊主，而我们呢，只是他的仆人。
We don't try to be familiar, too familiar with the Lord, and have manifest familiarity in our relationship with the Lord.
所以呢，我们不会和主过于的这种熟悉亲近，然后我们也不会用这种亲近的。关系去展现出我们和主之间的关系。
This may come later on when you become perfect realized.
当然，当我们最后能够完美的觉悟了以后呢，这种清净的关系也许可能会展现。
For the time being, we worship the Lord in awe and reverence.
但是在此时呢，我们是怀着敬畏之情去崇拜主的。
He is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are his part and parcel eternal servants.
他是至尊主，他是至尊人格守神，而我们呢，只是他不可分割的一部分，是他的永恒的仆人。
So the four Kumaras, even though initially were Brahmavadis, impersonal liberated, eventually they became great devotees of the Lord.
对这位四古马尔兄弟，他们最开始的时候呢，虽然是 Brahmavadi， 是对于至尊主的部分的非人格的觉悟者，但是呢，最后他们成为了主的非常的伟大的奉献者。
Shukadeva Goswami was also like that.
Shukadeva Goswami 也是如此。
Then by hearing from about the pastimes of Krishna from his father, he became totally attracted.
但是从他的父亲那儿听到了 Krishna 的逍遥时光以后呢，他就完全的迷在其中了。
So these four incarnations, the four Kumaras, are very, very important.
所以说呢，四库马尔兄弟的这四位化身呢是非常非常重要的。
Because they came to spread transcendental knowledge. They were empowered to do that.
因为他们来呢是被赋予了力量来传播超然知识的。
So that's why it's very important, because it can give opportunity to the conditioned souls to understand that they are not a product of matter, they are spiritual, they belong to the spiritual energy, they are spiritual souls. So this is an aspect of self-realization that is very, very important.
所以呢，这是非常重要的原因呢，就是因为他们可以让这个受条件限制的灵魂去了解到，其实我们并不是一团非生命的这个物质，而我们是灵性的灵魂，是灵性的这个意识。那么了解到这一点呢，是非常非常重要的。
And it was important that they disseminate this knowledge right in the beginning of the creation, so that the great sages could assimilate this knowledge, and then the conditioned souls gradually could hear about this knowledge that they are not these bodies, they are spiritual souls.
那所以这个非常重要的一点呢，就是在这个创造之初的时候，他们就可以把这个知识传播出来，然后使得圣人们呢能够听到这些知识，然后从而呢把这些知识呢能够传递给其他的这个受条件限制的灵魂，然后使大家就能够听到关于我们不是这个身体，我们是灵魂的这样的知识。
So Lord Brahma naturally was in the beginning, he was in some anxiety because he wanted this knowledge to be spread. So, by the arrangement of the Lord, the four Kumaras appear as his children, and they took charge of disseminating this important knowledge.
所以说，在创造的之初的时候呢，主 Brahma 是非常焦虑的，因为他希望这些知识是能够被传递出来的。所以呢，主呢就感应到他的这个焦虑，所以呢就派来了这四个库马尔兄弟。然后使得四位库玛尔兄弟呢，把这个超然的知识呢给传递开来。
So these are the original four children of Lord Brahma.
所以呢，这就是这主 Brahma 的最开始的，不是就这怎么说？就是这是主 Brahma 的四位长子的故事。
So these are mental children.
所以这些都是主 Brahma 的用心意所生出来的孩子。
And also then the seven sages came after.
然后在这四库玛尔兄弟之后呢，出现了七位圣人。
And then came the 14 Manus.
然后呢，又生出了十四位 Manu.
So these are the 25 first great rishis that appear after Lord Brahma.
对，在主 Brahma 之后呢。这是出现的25位 Rishi, 伟大的 Rishi, 圣人。
They were all in charge of not only distribute this transcendental knowledge, but also, and most important, to procreate the different species of life.
所以呢，他们掌管的，就是他们负责的这些事情呢，不仅仅是要传播超然的知识，还有呢，就是繁衍后代，繁衍各种各样的生命形式。
Oh, I said the 14 Manus, not the 14 Prajapatis.
So instead of 14 Manus, there are
14 Prajapatis, yeah.
刚才说就改一下啊，不是14位 Manus, 是14位祖先。
So, this is the beginning. Lord Brahma is explaining to Shukadeva, to Narada Muni, how it happened in the beginning.
所以呢，这就是主 Brahma 在向 Narada Muni 在解释，在最开始的时候都发生了什么。
The different incarnations of the Lord, either the Lord Himself incarnated or empowered some living entity to spread a mission on His behalf.
就讲了主的这些化身们，那有的化身那是主亲自的化身，还有一些呢，就主他。赋予了这个个体灵魂以力量，然后呢，让这些个体灵魂在代表着他去从事一些需要做的事情。
So we, as we read the Bhagavatam, you hear more about the four Kumaras in different occasions.
对的，当我们在阅读圣典巴加瓦坛的时候，我们会在不同的情况下去阅读到关于四位库玛尔兄弟的故事。
Means they are also our source of inspiration.
也就是说呢，他们也是激励我们的源泉。
So we stop here.
我们讲课就先到这儿了。
And if there are any questions or comments, maybe some question from last time.
Okay, 然后看看大家有没有任何问题和
You have from last time one question.
Yeah, yeah. 沙利玛姐，上一周还有一个问题没有。哦，对
，Olivia.
Yeah, yeah. I see that question. 那么上一周有一个 Olivia 的问题，阿叔先回答这个问题。亲爱的阿叔，请接受我恭敬的顶拜。请问在 ，Sorry, I hear my own voice. 请问在灵性上的贪婪是物质的贪婪 ？Sorry, 请问在灵性上的贪婪与在物质上的贪婪一样吗？我们如何鉴别什么时候是灵性的贪婪，什么时候是物质的贪婪呢？面对物质的事物就是物质的贪婪，面对灵性的事情就是灵性的贪婪吗？感恩您的仁慈。 Dear Ashu, please accept my very very humble obeisances. So my question is that is the spiritual greedy and the material greedy are the same? How can we judge, and also how can we distinct which one is the spiritual oriented greed?And what is the material-oriented greed? So when we dealing with the material things, that pertains to the material-oriented greed. Is that right? And also when we dealing with the spiritual-oriented issues, that can be considered as the spiritual-orientedGreed. Is that right? Thank you very much.
Greed means anchoring for something.
贪婪也就意味着渴求着想要得到什么。
If it's our anchoring is to achieve something for Krishna's pleasures, that certainly is spiritual greed.
如果我们要是渴求着能够让 Krishna 去开心的话，那么毫无疑问那就是灵性上的贪婪。
That does not mean whatever we use, material or things, you are hanging for some material thing, but for the service of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, that is spiritual greed.
比如说，我们想要得到一个物质上的东西，但是我们得到这个物质上的这个东西呢，是为了要让主开心，是为了取悦主的话，那么那个也被认为是灵性上的贪婪。
So endeavor, have a great hankering to do, achieve something for the pleasure of the Lord. That is considered spiritual greed.
对，如果我们要是努力着获得某件事情，然后呢，让这个事情呢是为了要去满足主的开心和快乐的话，那么那个呢就被认为是灵性上的贪婪。
And material greed means we hanker for something for our own selfish interest.
那么物质上的贪婪呢，也就意味着我们渴求着得到一些事情，能够满足我们自私的兴趣。
Either self-centered or self-extended.
Extended， 无论是我们就是关于我们自己的，或者是跟我们自己相关的那些事情。
We can maybe greedy to achieve something for our family or even for our society or for our country, but still is a material greed.
那比如说也许我们可能会非常渴求着得到一些事情为我们自己得到一些事情，或者说是为我们的家庭，甚至于我们所在的这个国家去获得一些什么。但无论怎么样，那么这种都是属于是物质的贪婪。
嗯。So if it's the goal is to please Krishna according to what we hear from the guidance we get from the scriptures,And from the spiritual masters, and we hanker to achieve that for the pleasure of the Lord and His devotees, then is a spiritual greed.
嗯，那所以说呢，我们就要看我们的这个目标是什么。如果要是我们的这个目标呢，是为了要让 Krishna 开心，那比如说是在这个经典的指导之下，在灵性导师的指导之下，我们去做的一些事情，使我们能够。去达到让主或者是他的奉献者开心的话，那这会儿我们的这种渴望，我们的渴求，这样的贪婪就属于是灵性上的贪婪。
So the next question.
Okay, the next question from today. Krishna Prabhu, 请问怎么样去掉自己身上非人格思想的倾向？ My question is that how to remove the intention of myself about the impersonalist way of thinking.
First we have to understand that we are persons.
那么首先呢，我们必须要理解我们就是人。
And we have our personal needs, our personal interests, our person's likings and dislikings.
而且呢，我们有我们自己的一些需求，有我们自己的兴趣，而且呢，我们有自己的喜好。
We have our particular individual disposition.
嗯，那我们有我们自己特定的这个态度、处事的行为方式。
So when we are dealing with other persons,
所以呢，当你再去和别人去进行打交道的时候，
we have also to be aware that they have their likings and dislikings.
所以呢，我们也必须要意识到别人也有人家的喜好。
They have their particular individuality.
而且呢，我们也会意识到人家也是一个，就是一个特定的一个人，有自己性格的人。
Because it's a person.
因为都是人。
As I wanted to be treated as a person, according to my nature, according to my liking and dislikings, I also have to pay attention to other persons, their likes and dislikes, and their moods and their individuality.
既然我想被别人是一个人去对待，我希望别人能够关照我的喜好以及关照我的这个脾气性格，那么也就意味着我也要去关注别人的喜好，关注别人的这个性格特征。
And because we want to develop a personal loving relationship with everyone, so we have to pay attention to these things.
那么就是因为我们希望和别人也能够建立起这种爱的关系，所以说呢，我们一定要注意这些细节。
Otherwise, we become impersonal. We just think about our own selves, and we think that others should be like us.
那所以，否则我们就变得非人格了。让我们就只会去专注我们自己的这个喜好、自己的想法，而且呢，也希望别人也能够像我们这样。
Everybody should think like me. Everybody should have the same likings and dislikings like me. Everybody should be the same mood like me, because we are all one.
那我们就会想到，反正我们大家都是一，那所以呢，所有的人都得像我这样，所有的人都得像我这样，有同样的这种喜好，有同样的这种心绪，我们都得干同样的事儿。
And this is the problem.
那么这就是问题了。
So in our loving, in developing our devotion for Krishna, we have to approach him also as a person.
所以说呢，
our devotion to Krishna, we have to understand him as a person.
Okay. 那么对于我们对 Krishna 要展现这种奉爱之情呢，也就意味着我们必须要理解 Krishna 他是一个人。
Yes, his likings and dislikings.
那比如说 Krishna 有他的喜好。
Yes, his individuality.
而且呢，也有他自己的这个个体性。
His personality, his mood.
有他自己的性格，有他自己的心绪。
And if you want to approach him, you want to develop a loving relationship with him, we have to be very careful about that, to respect that, to honor that.
所以如果我们要是想要和他建立起这种关系，和他建立起这种爱的关系的话，我们就必须要非常的小心的、仔细的去观察所有的就是他自己的人格性的这些特征。
So we just have to be more aware that others, they have not to be like us. Or according to what we think they should be.
所以呢，我们就必须要非常的小心，我们不要强求别人也必须要像我们这样。
Or they should think that they should be like me.
或者说呢，我们不能够想着那他们就必须得像我这样。
To have the same idea, the same opinion, the same likings and dislikings.
我们得有同样的想法，有同样的意见，有同样的喜好。
That's impersonal.
那么那样的话呢，就变成非人格的了。
Okay, next question.
The next question is from Sati Madhaji. Hare Krishna, 顶拜亲爱的阿叔。请问阿叔，如果 Jaya Vijaya 没有在 Vaikuntha 见过孩子的形象，那么在 Vaikuntha 与主父母之爱的 Rasa 是如何表现的呢？Sati Madhaji， 您的意思就是说在 Vaikuntha 的那个地方有没有这个父母之爱的，就是那儿的人有没有爹妈，是吧？那意思。Sati Madhaji， OK， 阿叔。I think Sati Madhaji probably is not around at this time, but I will try to. 还是问 Sati Madhaji 是这意思吗？
对，就是在讲那个斯库马尔那个消失光的时候，阿叔说那个。
就是您最后一句，那么在外昆塔与主父母之爱的 Rasa 如何表现出来？就是您的意思，就是说在外昆塔这个地方，那个地方是不是有孩子跟爸妈妈这样的？
对，是的。
OK。Yeah, so the question is that if Jaya and Vijaya, they haven't seen any children form in the Vaikuntha world, so are there any children and the parents relationship in Vaikuntha in the spiritual world?
They are, but they are all grown-ups.
有，但是就是虽然有爸爸妈妈和孩子，但是大家都是长大了的，一出来就是长大了的样子。
They don't have the childhood type of rasa.
嗯，所以呢，他们就没有这个孩子的 rasa.
They're all grown-ups, on full youth in Vaikuntha, and they remain always like that.
So from the day they've been born.
They are not born. They are all eternally there.
OK， 首先呢，就是这些人呢，他们不需要在那儿出生，他们就始终永远恒长的都在那儿待着。所以说呢，他们而且他们展现出来这个形象呢，也都是永远的年轻的这样的形象。
The pastimes of birth and childhood appear only in Goloka Vrindavan because the Lord wants to satisfy the desire of His devotees, and they wanted the devotees who want to see the Lord in that mood.
那么在就是关于这个孩子降生，然后要和在爹妈的照顾下一起长大的这个逍遥时光呢，只有在 Goloka Vrindavan 才有可能出现。因为在这个地方呢，主他是希望能够以这样的形式去满足他的奉献者们的这种需求。
And in the spiritual world, there is no birth pastime.
那么在灵性世界呢，是没有出生的逍遥时光的。
This happens only in the material world.
那么所以呢，就这只是在物质世界里面才会发生。
Even in the heavenly planets, you take birth from a family, but immediately you grow up to a youth.
那么在这个天堂，即使在天堂星宿，你从一个家庭里面降生之后，也就立刻一下子就长成了一个少年的样子。
So in Vaikuntha, everybody has a youthful body.
所以说在 Vaikuntha 呢，所有人都是年轻人的形象。
And they remain always like that.
而且呢，他们就一直都保持那样的形象。
There is no birth. There is actually no birth for the soul. This pastime of birth manifests in the material world only because the devotees want to experience that loving relationship with the Lord.In that particular mood of taking birth from them.
那么就是在灵性世界里面实际上是没有出生的逍遥时光的。那么在物质世界里面展现出来的这种出生的这个逍遥时光呢，是因为这个主他为了要满足这个奉献者想要作为他的这个父母去展示这个爱的这样的心绪而展现的。
Next question.
The next question.It's from
Chanchala
Mataji. Hare Krishna, Divashu. 请问您为什么在 Vaikuntha 还有激情属性呢？库马尔兄弟是解脱了的灵魂，为什么还会因激情属性而愤怒呢？Hare Krishna, Ashu, please accept my humble obeisances. My question is that why there are a mode of passion in the Vaikuntha world? Because Kumars, they are the realized souls. Why?They still be affected by the mode of passion and become angry.
There is no passion and ignorance.
没有 没有这个激情和愚昧。
But they manifest anger and they saw that, oh, this is a symptom of passion in ignorance. They were disturbed why this could happen. And as if you listen to the oral lecture, Lord Narayana later on explained to them this was his arrangements that they would become angry and curse the Jaya Vijaya because he wanted them to go to the material world.
嗯，但是呢，这个苦玛尔兄弟他们展现出了这种愤怒。当他们一愤怒了以后呢，他们就会觉得，哎呀，那么这个是激情和愚昧的这种显现。那为什么会是这样呢？但是如果我们要是听了整个的这个故事的这个讲述的话呢，我们就可以发现，实际上是这个主纳尔央呢在和他们在解释说呢，是因为他有一个计划，他做出了这样一个安排，所以才会使苦玛尔兄弟他们就变得愤怒了起来。
Okay, last question.
The last question is from Fong Mataji. 灵性的贪婪是不好的吗？Isn't that good for the spiritual greediness?
Sorry?
Isn't good. Well, her question is that isn't good.For the spiritual greediness. If it's, okay, there are other ways to say that. If the spiritual goodness is good or not good.
Spiritual goodness.
Greediness, greedy.
Spiritual greediness is good, yes. We should have that greed.
灵性的贪婪是好的，我们应该有这样的贪婪。
We should develop that greed to become pure devotees of the Lord and to serve Him to his satisfaction, to satisfy the Lord, to please Him, to please our gurus, to please the devotees. This is greed.
So
to achieve something that is for the pleasure of Krishna and His devotees, this is very nice.
但我们其实是应该有这样的灵性的贪婪的。我们要有这种灵性的贪婪，要好好的去服务 Krishna， 服务 Krishna 奉献者。然后呢，能够这个。
To have greed, to have this intensity to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna and his devotees.
Okay, 就是有这个灵性的贪婪呢，它是一种什么样的意图呢？就是要去好好的服务 Krishna， 以及好好的服务 Krishna 的奉献者，这是非常好的。
And as we advance spiritually, you're going to manifest this greed to have a loving relationship with Krishna, particularly loving relationship with Krishna.
所以说呢，就是当我们在这个灵性的修习的过程中，随着我们的这个进步呢，我们其实就会越来越加深我们和 Krishna 之间的这个关系，爱的关系。
In the material world, greed is born of passion, and that's what motivates people to achieve things, to do something. It's greed.
那么就是在物质世界呢，就是这个贪婪呢，实际上是来自于一种动机，它激励着人们希望能够去获得一些什么东西，所以呢，就一直会让人们去不断的去要去获得，去达到这个东西，那就是贪婪。
If you want to achieve something in material life, you have to be greed.
所以如果你要是在物质世界想要得到什么东西的话呢，你就必须要贪婪。
The same, if you want to achieve something spiritual, you have to manifest that spiritual greediness.
所以说，如果是在灵性世界，我们要想获得什么东西的话呢，我们也必须要去显现出的是灵性上的贪婪。
But the goal, the object, is to please Krishna and his devotees.
但是呢，这个灵性的贪婪的目的呢，是为了要取悦 Krishna 和他的奉献者们。
So as we practice better and better, we come to that stage where we start developing that greed, devotional, spiritual greed to please Krishna and his devotees more and more.
那所以呢，就是当我们走在这条路上的时候呢，我们就越来越多的想要让自己变得去取悦 Krishna 和他的奉献者，那也就意味着我们就会有越来越多的灵性上的贪婪。
Okay, next.
Next question from Krishna Prabhu again. Jagannath Puri 有其他传人系的人，我们在 Puri 朝圣时应该怎么做？ Okay, there were some other, there were the Vaishnavas from other Sampadaya in Jagannath Puri. So when we do the pilgrimage in Jagannathpuri, what should we do? What is the right thing for us to do to treat those devotees?
We treat them very respectfully.
对，我们要非常的尊敬他们。
Offer obeisance to them.
我们要向他们顶拜。
Always be very, very respectful.
要总是非常非常的尊敬。
Not only they are great Vaishnavas and they are Dambasis. They are living in a holy place. They are very special.
他们不仅是 Vaishnava, 而且呢，他们是圣地的居民 Dambasi. 所以说呢，他们是非常的特别的人物。
So we should always have a respect to that. If there is some philosophical difference, we don't pay attention to that. We just offer them respect. We don't need to discuss philosophy in detail with them.
但是所以呢，我们要总是给他们，就对他们是非常尊敬的。但是如果要是他们开始向我们探讨这个哲学的话，那我们不用过多的去注意他们所谈的这个话。我们不用去跟他们去探讨这些哲学的理念。
Because philosophical, there might be a little difference that we may be disturbed by those differences.
因为呢，就是他们的哲学跟我们的哲学呢，可能会有一些细微的区别，而我们可能会被这些细微的区别所打扰。
So better don't discuss philosophy.
所以呢，最好就不要跟他们去探讨哲学。
Just keep a respectful attitude.
我们只是抱着一个非常的尊敬的心态。
The next question.
The next question from Rajendra Prabhu Ganashu. Vatan di wu pian shuo dao le zai Treta Yoga nian dai gan guan xiang le mei you tong ku. Jing dian hen duo di fang dou shuo zhi yao gan guan xiang le jiu yi ding you tong ku. Ru he li jie, xie xie. In the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5, it is said that in the Treta Yoga, there is no miseries from the sense gratification. However, in many places, the sutra said that as long as we use our sense to gratify it, then we are sure to suffer the pains, the miseries. So how to understand the contradictions here?
Well, because they were more dedicated to the service of the Lord, so they were enjoying the senses by in their service to the Lord.
对了，就是因为在 Treta 年代的时候呢，人们他其实是更加的奉献于为主做服务，所以说呢，他们是把他们所有的这些感官全部都用作在为主做服务的这些享乐之中。
We don't say no sense gratification.
我们并不是说是不要有任何的感官享乐。
But our sense gratification comes from, real sense gratification comes from satisfying Krishna's senses.
但是我们真正的感官享乐实际上是来自于满足了主 Krishna 的感官。
We enjoy taking prasadam.
比如说我们特别喜欢吃 prasadam.
We enjoy talking about Krishna.
我们也特别的享乐谈论关于 Krishna 的话。
We enjoy singing and dancing in kirtan.
我们也特别的喜欢在 kirtan 中唱歌跳舞。
This is all sense enjoyment.
那么所有这些其实都是感官享乐。
We enjoy seeing the beautiful deities at darshan in the morning in Vrindavan or Mayapur.
在 Vrindavan 和 Mayapur 清晨，我们在 darshan 神像的时候，我们也是非常的享乐于其中。
We enjoy smelling those fragrant flowers offered to the Lord.
而且呢，我们也特别的这个享受着闻嗅着供奉给主的那些花朵的芬芳。
In Tantra Yuga, most of the people were dedicated to the service of the Lord, so naturally their sense gratification was connected with the Lord, whereas in Kali Yuga particularly, most people are non-devotees and they're just interested in selfish sense gratification. That's what is dangerous.
所以说呢，就是这个在 Treta 年代的时候呢，人们都是非常自然的、天然的这个奉献者，所以说呢，他们的这个感官上的这些活动呢，也就自然的是和主的这个服务相连接在一起的。这样的话呢，他们在进行感官享乐的时候就没有痛苦的。但是呢，在卡利年代的人们是没有要服务主这一说的，所以说他的这个感官享乐是和主的这个感官是相分离而存在的。 所以他就会痛苦。
Sanskrit, selfish sense gratification is sinful, so it produces bad karma, produces suffering eventually.
那么自私自利的这个感官享乐呢是有罪的。那所以说呢，当他在进行这个感官享乐的时候呢，就会产生出让他会受苦的业报。
Material sense gratification is for the lower species of life, not for human beings.
那么这个物质的感官享乐呢，它是为更低等的生物形式而准备的，并不是为人类准备的。
Yes, the animals, the birds, they enjoy their senses in a particular way. They enjoy without any responsibility, without any karma.
比如说这些动物们you mentioned the animals and the birds, right?
The animals and birds, they all have their sense gratification is totally okay.
Yeah, yeah. 比如说像这些动物们呢，像鸟人们呢，他们都是有这个各种各样的感官享乐的。那他们做这种感官享乐是不会给自己产生任何的业报的，而且是完全没有问题的。
But human beings are not meant for selfish sense gratification.
但是人类呢是不应该去进行自私自利的感官享乐的活动的。
But if you please Krishna's senses through devotional service, our senses become so much pleased.
但是如果我们要是通过奉献服务去从事我们的感官上的这些活动的话，当我们让 Krishna 的感官得到了快乐的时候，这会儿我们的感官就会变得非常的满意了。
Because our senses are also part and parcel of Krishna's senses.
因为我们的感官也是 Krishna 的感官的不可分割的一部分。
So they are meant for Krishna's pleasure.
所以呢，这个感我们的感官的存在的意义是为了要让 Krishna 开心。
And that's what gives us the most sense pleasure.
那么也就这样了，这样的话呢，就可以给我们最大的感官上的快乐。
So next.
The next is again from Rajendra Prabhu. 据说做物质的虔诚活动就是做好事做善事，也是一种罪恶活动，因为也有业报，还有轮回等等。奉献者如果不做这种活动，普通大众会认为奉献者们的生活真是太奇怪了，是一群奇怪的人种，怎么办呢？怎么看待？It is said that the material pious activitiesis about doing the nice things to people, to giving charities and etc. However, this is also a kind of a sinful activity. It also created the karmic reaction. It also will put us back to the incarnation of birth and death. However, if the devotees not engaging in this type of activities,The mass people will think that devotee is such a strange group of people. They have such a strange style of life. So what to do? And also, what's your opinion about this?
The devotee engages in activities of goodness.
那么这个奉献者们他们所从事的活动是在善良形态下的活动。
We are also kind. We are kind with other people.
我们对其他的人也是非常好的呀。
We offer them charity in the form of prasadam, the holy names and books, knowledge.
我们也为他们做善事啊，比如说我们给他们吃 prasadam 呐，然后把书给他们呀，还有把知识给他们呀。
We also offer welfare activities.
对，因为所以我们也是在做着这个福利性的活动。
It's not that we want to get away from others. We are involved with the benefit of others.
并不是说是我们要从别人身边跑开，我们其实是做着为了别人的利益好的事情。
We are interested in the well-being of people.
所以呢，我们是非常的有益于去致力于让别人的这个。健康就是让别人过得更好。
So their well, we interesting their spiritual well-being, their real well-being.
对，所以呢，我们实际上是非常的关心他们的健康的，非常关心他们的灵性上的真正的健康的。
But also we can do welfare work like normal charitable activity. You can offer something to a poor man, a poor person.
但是我们也可以做一些物质上的一些这个啊布施类的这种虔诚活动，比如说可以帮助一个穷人呐。
嗯 ，if you see a beggar, if you don't help the beggar even by giving a little coin, then your heart remains hard.
那比如说，如果你要是见到了一位这个乞丐，如果你要是连一枚钱都不想给他的话，那你这个心就太硬了。
But our main charity is to give them knowledge and give them the holy names and prasadam. This is the most important charity.
但是呢，作为我们的这个布施呢，最重要的布施是把 prasadam、把圣名和把知识给他们。
And we say that any material activity is considered sinful, because it's not meant for Krishna's pleasure.
那么当我们说任何的物质活动都是罪恶的时候，它的意思是什么呢？就是说因为这些活动不是为了让 Krishna 的开心而做的。
But certainly a person acts in a mode of goodness is going to get a better material karma.
但是呢，一个在善良形态下活动的人，他毫无疑问是会得到好的业报的。
They can even go to heaven.
他们甚至能够去到天堂。
But for a devotee, for a person who has this knowledge of devotion, knowledge of Krishna, any activity, even goodness going to heaven, is considered hellish, is considered sinful, because it's devoid of service to Krishna.
但是作为一个奉献者，当他具有了要服务 Krishna 的和有 Krishna 这件事的这个知识以后呢，他就觉得即便是去到天堂，这件事情也是一个地狱一样的状态，也是非常的有罪的。原因是，这会让他远离对 Krishna 的服务。
And such activity still bound us to material existence.
而且呢，就是任何的这个物质的活动呢，都会让我们继续的被捆缚在物质的存在之中。
That's why we should not be interested.
那也就这个原因呢，使得我们不应该被这些事情所吸引。不应该对他们感兴趣。
Next question.
The next question still from Rajendra Prabhu. 请问非人格主义的思想和倾向与在与非奉献者联谊中有哪些表现形式 ？Sorry， 请问非人格主义者的思想和倾向在与奉献者联谊中有哪些表现形式 ？So my question is that what are the symptoms or performances of the impersonalist way of thinking and intention when we associate with the devotees?
We think more about ourselves.
就我们总是会想着自己。
And we think we are the others should be like ourselves.
我们觉得别人就得像我们这样。
And we are very intolerant to other people.
然后别人呢，我们也特别忍不了。
So we may think we are better.
所以我们老觉得我们自己比别人好。
We don't like to listen to others.
不喜欢听别人说话。
But we want others to listen to us.
我们就想让别人听我们说话。
Very self-centered.
所以呢，就非常的自我为中心。
So we think we are the standard of what a person should be.
那所以我们就觉得我们是别人应该成为我们这样的那个标准。
So when we are with others, we pay attention to them.
所以呢，当我们要和别人在一起的时候呢，我们应该去注意到别人。
Let them speak.
我们应该让别人讲话。
Hear their opinion about things.
我们应该去聆听人家所对事情发表的意见。
Respect their opinion, even though our opinion may be different.
那么，即便是我们的意见跟他们的意见有所不一样，但是我们应该去尊重别人的意见。
Respect their likings and dislikings, even though they are different from our likings and dislikings.
即便是人家的这些喜好啊，和我们的喜好有所不同，但是我们也应该去尊重别人的喜好。
Because they are individual persons.
因为大家都是个体的人。
Okay, next question.
So the next question is not a question, but a comment from Sumuti Radha Mataji. 祝阿叔和所有的爬部们父亲节快乐，所有的咕噜父亲节日快乐。Today is Father's Day. So,、so she said that, pray for 阿叔 and all of the Prabhus and has a very happy, Father's Day. And, wish all of the guru fathers has a very beautiful Father's Day.
Thank you, thank you.
谢谢。
Let's honor our most important father, Srila Prabhupada.
啊，然后呢，因为我们有一个非常非常重要的父亲 ，Srila Prabhupada.
Our father and grandfather.
嗯，他是我们的父亲，是我们的祖父。
嗯。Okay, the last question from
Mataji. Yeah, the last question from Oliva Mataji. Haribo, 顶拜亲爱的阿叔。请问当服务和学习经典时间冲突的时候如何选择会更好呢？感恩您的仁慈。Haribo, please accept my very humble obeisances to you, dear Ashu. So my question is that, when there was a conflictions of the time in between of the service and, study, scripture, sastra study, how to balance the time? Thank you very much.
That's not always easy.
嗯，这个不是总是很容易做到的。
So that's why you have to set aside. It's better to set aside a time for study where you don't have any other things to do. Usually.
所以呢，最好呢是给自己专门辟出一段时间来学习，然后在这段时间里面的时候呢，你就不需要去忙活其他的事情。
嗯。That's the main thing, that you have to find a lot of particular time just for studying that you know you're not going to be, worried about doing something else.
所以呢，就非常重要的一点呢，就是你要专门的就是安排一段时间，然后这段时间你就知道你在这个时间里面呢，你不需要去担忧其他的事情。
Either early in the morning, and it can also be in the evening when you finish all your activities and you have nothing else to do before going to sleep, you can take a book and study. It's also nice. In the morning is the best, certainly.
那可以这个时间呢，可以是早晨的这个时间。那早晨的这个时间毫无疑问是最好的时间。但也有可能呢是晚上，在您就是把所有的其他的事情都忙活完了以后，然后在休息之前拿出书来读一读。
So it has to be, it's better to allot a particular time for your study that you plan a time for your study that you know you are not going to be impelled to do anything else.
所以说呢，就是最好呢是你自己能够给自己做一个安排，然后安排出一个你自己知道在这段时间里面不会被其他的事情所打扰的那个时间来学习。
If you really wish, desire to have a good period for studying, you know, where you are not distracted by anything else. No, Krishna certainly will help you to find that moment.
那如果你要是真的有这种愿望，希望能够找到一个不被别的事情所打扰的时间来学习的话 ，Krishna 毫无疑问是会帮助你去找到这样的时间的。
嗯 ，Thank you, thank everybody for your questions.
非常非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank everybody for listening.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
A special thank you. Okay, Olivia, another one.
Yeah, Olivia, another question. 这里的服务不是日常的服务，而是偶尔的服务，比如奉献者的到访和我们原计划的学习时间冲突。Okay, well, she said that the service, what she's saying here is not a daily routine service, but the occasionally happened service. For example, there were visiting devotees, and also because there are service,to do while the devotees visiting, so that will conflict with the study time.
Okay, but that is occasional.
但是呢，这个事儿只是偶尔发生。
And because it's occasional and the devotees come, yes, we take special care of the devotees. That's the most important.
Okay, 那么如果这是偶尔发生的，而且呢，这个奉献者他偶尔来访了以后呢，照顾好这位奉献者是非常重要的一件事情。所以呢，我们可以。
Yeah. When the devotees visit us, it's like Krishna visiting us.
Sorry, Ash, could you say it again?
When the devotees visit us, when we have guests, is the same as receiving Krishna.
Okay, 就是当有奉献者来拜访我们的时候，对于我们来说，就像 Krishna 来拜访我们一样，是一样的。
So we have to pay attention to the guests.
所以说呢，我们一定要好好的去招待这位客人。
But this does not happen all day long. It does not happen every day.
但是呢，这又不是一天都会发生的事情，而也不是每天都会发生的事情。
So.You can still plan the time for your study, but there are some exceptions, okay. But it's not a loss because you have the opportunity to serve devotees, and that's always excellent.
所以说呢，我们依然可以去安排我们学习的时间，但是呢，当有这个偶尔有奉献者来拜访的时候呢，我们要把这个时间用来去照顾这位奉献者，但是呢，我们也不会损失什么，因为和奉献者的联谊对我们来说总是最好的。
Okay, a special thank you to Dana Kelly and Sati Mataji for allowing us to be together.
特别的感谢 Sati Mataji 和 Dana Kelly 能够允许我们在一起。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.
Ashu ki jai.把奉献之音服务员聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，那我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了。非常非常感谢 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 阿叔为我们的精彩讲述和对所有的问题的耐心解答，也非常非常感谢所有的奉献者的这么好的问题的提出。谢谢 Sati Mataji， 那祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个非常非常美妙的父亲节。Hare Krishna。